This is the Green Student Ministries Middle School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. We are committed to our students being known, knowing Jesus, and becoming kingdom workers. We hope this podcast serves to encourage, challenge, and to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is Green Student Ministries.
All right. Hey guys, just so you know, Jacob over here, who plays drums for us, is playing with a broken wrist. So everybody, can we give it up for Jacob? Because that's pretty awesome. I'm super, super impressed by that. So poor Jacob broke his wrist at Wallapalooza. All right. So he was like our only broken bone of the night. We also had an Achilles that got torn. You broke your pinky. Yeah. I know. Well, okay. You matter. You matter, Elle. I'm sorry. All right. So we are continuing in our series called Big Questions this morning. So if you were here a couple weeks ago, we threw up on the screen this question. This one. If you could ask anything about faith, following Jesus, God, the Bible, Christianity, what would you ask? Kind of like that idea that if you got one free question, like to ask God, like to stand in front of him and be like, hey, what about this? What would you ask? What would you text in? What would you say? Hey, I want to know about this. All right. And so we got a ton of questions for you guys. We got like over 80 questions come in from all of you. And so I've been kind of poring over those again for the last week. And every week I've been able to kind of go through what you guys have been asking. And we've got a lot of really good ones. I just wanted to throw up one of my favorites that we got so far. It'd be this one. I like this one a lot. Did Jesus ever have a girlfriend? So the answer to this one for a rapid fire round here, the answer to this one is no. All right. But go ahead and throw that other one up. But the church is the bride of Christ. All right. So he skipped the dating and was just like, he put a ring on it. It was just like immediate. All right. It was like immediate. The church is the bride of Christ. Here you go. Ephesians 5:25-27 says this: husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. All right, and so guys in here, if the ladies in here can handle being called brothers in Christ in just about every other passage, you can handle being a bride, all right? So you're gonna be all right. So yes, in fact, we are the bride of Christ and you're beautiful, all right? I thought it was a great question. That's not the main one that we're talking about this morning. So I have kind of a series of questions this morning that I thought that was really good. All three of them, I think, really kind of revolve around one key figure in Scripture, and that is the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. It's part of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, right? God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I think that the Holy Spirit is somebody that we kind of push off to the side. We have a lot of maybe questions about. We're not really sure what's going on there, right? Because I think we read a lot about God the Father, right? He's creating everything. He's mentioned all the time throughout Scripture. We see Jesus actively working and living his life throughout the New Testament in the Gospels, and then thereafter in all of the letters, we're reminded to look like Jesus, to model our lives after him. And the Holy Spirit comes in right around the time that Jesus leaves, all right? And so if you have kind of tracked with that at all, the Holy Spirit comes in at the end of Jesus's ministry. It's promised to us. He's promised to us. And believe it or not, the Holy Spirit is a person. All right. A lot of times we refer to the Holy Spirit as like an it or like a thing. But the Holy Spirit is in fact a person. So let's look at this first question that we have. I really enjoyed this. I think this is huge. I think this is probably the first kind of and first and foremost the most important question. So whoever asked this, thank you for asking this, because I think this is important. There are some different kind of views on this. and some different ideas, but I want you to know what we're going to run through. This is like this is where my heart is. This is where we stand at the chapel. So this question is, how do you know when the Holy Spirit is in you? All right, and if I'm tracking with this question correctly, I feel like it's coming from a place of confusion about what the Holy Spirit does in us that like shows on the outside, and I hope that I'm right there. How do you know when the Holy Spirit is in you? Because I think a lot of people are like, okay, if the Holy Spirit's in me, shouldn't something be a little bit different in me? Like, should I look different? Should I be doing different things? The answer is yes. All right. But I want us to walk through that a little bit. So go ahead and throw that next one up on the screen. So if you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 1, 13 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 through 14. Ephesians is in the New Testament. It's one of the letters written by Paul, and it's towards the middle of the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, like it's in the middle of those two. So here we go, Ephesians 1, 13. All right, I'll back up and I'll start in 11, and then 13 and 14 are here up on the screen. So in him, in Jesus, we were also chosen, having been predestined and according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. 12 says, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And so here we go, 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. All right, so first and foremost, right there, verse 13, I think that this answers the question in terms of timing, maybe. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, which is the promised Holy Spirit. And so when you believe, he's talking about the gospel here. He's talking about Jesus here. So the answer is, how do I know if I have the Holy Spirit? My first kind of response to you would be, is have you believed in Jesus? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't come and doesn't live in us, that promised seal, it doesn't happen. He's not here unless you have believed in Jesus. All right? It's like, I feel like this is pretty clear as far as like timing goes. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal that promised the Holy Spirit. And the question of what am I believing? I think that's also important. It's that you would believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And Jesus claims to be the Son of God, the Lamb who comes to take away the sins of the world. And so by believing in him and in his death and his resurrection, most importantly, his resurrection. All right, a lot of people believe that he died. Not a lot of people believe that he resurrected. He came back to life from the grave. If you believe that you believe that he came, he lived, he died in order that he would save us from our sins, that he would be our Savior, then when it's like, okay, yes, I'm in on that. I believe that in my heart. And you believe in your mouth, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? Then you're marked with a seal and the promised Holy Spirit, he comes. He guarantees our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So hopefully that helps with the timing on that, all right? So let's go to the next slide that I've got. And we're going to be in the book of John. So flip back a couple pages in your Bibles. The book of John, chapter 14. If you were in main service this morning, this is actually where Pastor Mike was talking about the Holy Spirit, which is just really cool that this all kind of like happened this morning. Because I was already planning to do these questions before I knew kind of where we were going in main service, and so I think it's cool how God works that out. So hopefully that this is something that you've been hearing a lot this morning, and maybe we'll continue to bring up more questions and hopefully answers as well. So this is John 14. This is 16 through 20. and I will ask the Father. This is Jesus talking. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. That word's also translated like advocate or helper. We'll give you a helper to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him. Again, he's talking about this Spirit as a person. He says him. It doesn't accept it. Accepts him. Because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. All right? I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. This is Jesus talking about how he's going away. They won't see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That's a lot, just in those like couple of words there at the end of this passage. On that day, verse 20, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. There's a couple other places in Scripture that talks about your life as a believer being hidden in Christ, that like when you believe in him, not only are you forgiven and redeemed, but it's like we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but when God looks at you, he sees who? Jesus. Like when God looks at you, he sees Jesus, which is pretty crazy, because if you think about your life and just what you've done or where you've been, the things that you've said, right? Like that when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. That's nuts, first and foremost. But then the crazy awesome thing, not only, right, he says that I am in my Father so that Jesus and the Father are one, you are in me, so you're a part of this now, and I am in you. So as he's talking about the Spirit, he later on in this passage even, he says something, Mike mentioned it this morning, that the Holy Spirit, he comes, it's like, and will live with you. That it's basically like roommates kind of a thing. Like that the Holy Spirit is like your roommate. Like you're living together. You guys are always together. All right? And so this question of how do I know if the Holy Spirit is in me? All right, the first thing that I would ask you is, have you believed? All right? And if you have, then the truth of his guaranteeing promise, his guaranteeing seal in your life, that is true. And then this is true also, that Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to come and live in you, to be your helper, your advocate, the one who lives in you. Now that's like really weird for us to think about, all right? That like in us is the Holy Spirit. It's not something that like a doctor can like open up a part of you and just be like, yep, there it is, the Holy Spirit. Like that's not how that works, all right? I remember as a kid, if you've heard the phrase, like I prayed and I asked Jesus to come live in my heart. I think that's trying to explain a little bit of what's happening here when we say the Holy Spirit comes to dwell and live in you. All right, it's not like Jesus, physical person, comes and like lives in your like thumping, beating heart. All right, that's pumping blood and all this stuff. All right, like it's just somewhere here in your soul, in you, now dwells the presence of God, which is huge. All right, now listen to this, and this is why. Track with me here. The whole point of Scripture, the whole point of the Bible, is that God and his presence lived with us, with Adam and Eve in the garden, with his people. The whole original intent was that we would live with God, live with him, working and living and doing here on this earth together. That God's space and human space was one, is together. His presence was here. And then sin entered the world and those two spaces split apart and everything since then has been broken. And ever since then, God has been on a track through time, right up and even until Jesus and beyond, where eventually those two spaces will again be together. That's why back in the Old Testament, they had a thing called a tabernacle, which was like a tent. where God's presence dwelt among the Israelites. Or they built a temple which had this place called the Holy of Holies, which was like this hot spot for God's presence, all right? And it's like if you went in there without having done the proper sacrifices or whatever, like people would walk in there and like if you didn't respect or do the proper things, people would walk in there and you would immediately die because you were in God's presence and a sinful human cannot enter the presence of God without dying because he's perfect and holy and it cannot stand in the presence of holiness. Sin cannot stand in the presence of holiness, all right? And so then here's the deal. Then as Jesus came, he lived a perfect life, he died for our sins, and this promised Holy Spirit, this is his presence. That now we don't have to go to a temple to worship or experience his presence. The crazy thing is that all of that now lives in you and me. If you are a believer, if you believe that Jesus is who he says that he is, that power, that presence, that God, who is the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus, lives in you. That's crazy, all right? You'll realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. If you believe the Holy Spirit is in you, all right? Which kind of then leads us to that next thing. So you may be sitting there and you're like, all right, Adam, I've done that. I believe that. Like, I believed in Jesus, I trusted him when I was like 5 or when I was 10 or last summer or at Ruach or like I've done that, all right? So how do I know that like he's like talking to me or whatever? And so here's, throw up the next question for me. I thought this was really, really good too. How can you tell if your inner voice is God speaking to you or you speaking to yourself? This question I think is huge. I think it's so important, and I'm glad that whoever texted in that you asked this, all right? How can you tell if your inner voice is God speaking to you or you speaking to yourself? Go ahead and throw that next slide up there. This is John 10:27. You don't even have to flip there. My sheep, this is Jesus talking. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Go ahead and go to the next one. Galatians 5, if you want to open up to this one, you can. Galatians 5, this is actually just before Ephesians where you were at earlier. Galatians 5. All right, I think that this is important because it is. There's like times where like, okay, I feel like I'm being pulled in a direction or I've asked God like, hey, would you show me what I'm supposed to be doing right now? Would you tell me where I'm supposed to go? What should I say? Where am I supposed to go? I feel like the first time that a lot of students experience this, at least that come and ask me about it, is like when it comes to their college decision, which I think is really funny. But everybody's like, I've been praying and I'm like I want God to tell me where I'm supposed to go to college, which I think is really wise and good. And they're like conflicted and it's just like, am I supposed to go here, or is God calling me to go here? I've been trying to listen to him, right? And so that's something that I think people say a lot. So, but this question of how do I know if it's just me like making stuff up in my mind of like, yeah, you should do that, or no? Or is it the Holy Spirit? I would say this, first and foremost, that verse in John about my sheep hear my voice, they listen to me, they follow, all right? Where's the one place that we know we can hear God's voice? It's right here. Last week we talked about how this is God's revealed word to us. That if we have a question, if we're wondering something, we can go to Scripture, right? And it provides guidance and direction. Now, you're not gonna open up the Bible and it's like, go to Akron University or go to Baldwin Wallace or go to Cedarville. Like that's not right. And so in those kind of questions where it's not like, should I steal something? And it's like, the Bible says no. Like when we have those life questions of like, which direction should I go? Where should I be going? I think the way that you're able to listen to the Holy Spirit is if you know his voice, all right? Which means that if you're in his word, I think that we have a pretty clear kind of direction on where he's pointing us and in what way we should live our lives, all right? And so decisions that come up that are not like based on whether it's I'm sinning or like if you're thinking about sinning versus not sinning, all right, the answer is no, all right? Here's the deal. The Holy Spirit will never tell you to do something that is contrary to what is already written in his word, all right? God cannot contradict himself. He cannot lie. He cannot trick, all right? That's not how this works. And so if you feel like you're sitting there and you're like, man, God really told me that I need to beat up this kid who's just like treating other people bad, all right? Because that's what God would want. You're wrong, all right? That's not, because Jesus tells us to love our enemies. And so, exactly. And so it's just like, why would the Holy Spirit tell you something that doesn't line up with Scripture? Because if the Holy Spirit and God and the Father and Jesus, they're all one, it's in the same, that can't contradict itself, that can't be different. So those questions that you have of if it's, should I sin or not? The answer is always no, all right? The Holy Spirit will never tell you to do something that is against God's word, all right? And so always, 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 if you feel like you have that question of like, I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me to do this, or I feel like I'm being pulled in this direction, always, always, always check and make sure, first and foremost, that what you're thinking and what you're feeling is lining up with Scripture. Another way that you can do that is by talking to somebody who's older and wiser than you and knows more about God's word than you. And you can be like, hey, I need help with this decision. Can you help me figure this out? Because I'm not really sure, all right? So here's the other deal too. So Galatians 5, chapter 16. It says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. So it's talking here about those kind of two opposite paths. My sinful nature versus the Holy Spirit, which is God's nature in me. It says that they are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I know I stopped there, but 17. You are not to do whatever you want and then just say, well, the Holy Spirit told me that I should do this. I cannot tell you how many times, and this sounds silly, but it will happen. Ladies, please be careful. Also, guys, how many times when I was in college that a guy would walk up to a girl and just be like, God has revealed to me in a dream that we are supposed to get married. Like, you laugh, okay? I'm serious, there are people who are just like, the Holy Spirit, he's been speaking to me, and we're supposed to get married, so you need to come and we need to start dating immediately, all right? Because we're supposed to be together, all right? Ladies, if a guy ever, you're like, when he tells me, I'll let you know, all right? That's your response, all right? Your answer is no, and also, you know what? Whenever I hear that, then I'll come back, I'll find you, all right? Maybe our times, we're just like a little off. Maybe you heard it first and I'm like down the line, all right? I don't know. So please be careful with that. Also, don't ever say that to anybody, all right? Please don't. Yeah, you'd be a creep, all right? So you have these two natures, all right? Galatians, it goes on in between these two lines here. It talks about what it looks like. The acts of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, which is a big word, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, arguments, factions, or like cliques, envy, drunkenness, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, it's faithfulness, and self-control. Gentleness and self-control. I missed one, sorry. So as you guys look at this, okay, Here's the deal. Is this the fruit that you see in your life? Because this also helps to answer the question of, is the Holy Spirit in me? Because if you see more of the former, like, right, the passage that was talking about your sinful nature versus more of this, I would say examine your heart and where you're at. Because those of us who are filled with the Spirit, who love and believe in Jesus, are, that doesn't mean you're not going to fail or sin or mess up, but it just means that you kind of are on this constant track of seeking after Jesus and of wanting to look more like him, all right? And in the midst of that, the fruit of this comes out in you, all right? That's important. So go ahead and flip to the next one. I'll run through this one kind of fast, all right? So we have this, like, okay, so why do I, how do I know if it's his voice or whatever? And then some of us might ask this question. And I would say that before I even answer this, why does the Holy Spirit put me in situations that I don't know how to handle? I would say that a lot of the times we find ourselves in, I don't know if this is talking about like a bad situation, or maybe you just like, I find myself in a situation where like my parents aren't getting along, or like I have friends who I thought I trusted and like, and they really stabbed me in the back or have been talking about me, like things like that, that feel out of your control. All right. I think a lot of times we immediately want to blame somehow the Holy Spirit. We want to blame God and just say, hey, you put me directly in this. All right. When really, honestly, a lot of the situations that we face that are difficult and hard are a result of the sin and the brokenness in the lives of people around us, all right? It's not like God looks at you and is like, all right, I'm gonna stick you in a family that has tons of marital problems, or like, I'm gonna stick you in a friend group and all these people are gonna betray you. Ready, go. Like, that's not God's intent, all right? I think as we're living and as we're walking, again, to keep in step with the Spirit, all right? And hopefully as we're doing that, we can maybe avoid some situations like this, tough situations, but Jesus never promises that life is easy for believers. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. And he says, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. All right? He never promises that things will be easy. All right, so here's what I put up here for the answer for this. Why does the Holy Spirit put me in situations I don't know how to handle? God won't give you more than you can handle. Wrong. If you've heard that before, that is unbiblical and not true, all right? So here's the deal. Here's what Scripture actually says. I think this is where like this phrase kind of comes from. So go ahead and flip to that next one. A lot of people pull out of this. This is 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God's faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. Easy to see how somebody pulls that from there. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. So this passage, in its context, it's talking about temptation, all right? Not about like, man, I lost my job, or man, I had my friends, like, and they really just, they've been talking about me behind my back. I thought I was gonna make the team, and my coach cut me. I thought that things were going well with this girl, and she dumped me. I thought, like, that's not, those tough situations, that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about temptation. No testing or temptation has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. When we see this verse, he's talking about deciding what is right and wrong. Again, it's that, am I going to give in to my sinful nature, or am I going to follow and keep in step with the Spirit? And if the Holy Spirit is in you, he's saying that there is nothing that can overtake. He has provided you a way out. It's if you are going to take that way out or not. Because here's the deal. I think for a lot of us in here, we've experienced moments where we're like, I am about to do something that God probably wouldn't like, or I'm going to sin. And we know that it's about to happen. We see it coming. It's like a train moving at like 1 mile an hour. It's like very slowly. And we're like, oh, wow, here it comes. Oh, here it comes. Okay, it's coming. What do I do? What do I do? Oh, no, it hit me. Like that. So that's honestly, a lot of the times we find ourselves in that. And we're the ones that have like, oh, look, a train. Here's the tracks. all right? And so, like, there are moments where all of a sudden it's like a speeding train and you don't see it. All of a sudden you hear the horn, you turn around and it's right there and you're like, ah! And you have to make a decision to, like, get out of the way, all right? Or jump or get out of it somehow. Sometimes it's like drastic, all right? But a lot of the times, the sin that we have experienced in our lives, it honestly is like that. It's that slow-moving train. We go looking for the tracks, and then it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And then we're like, God, why did you put me in this situation? All right? And so I would say just be cautious in that. I would also say that if you are keeping in step with the Spirit, I think that in general, I think you will find yourself in less situations that are sticky or difficult to get out of. All right? That doesn't mean that it won't happen. But this is talking about temptation and not just like, man, I had a really bad thing happen. Like, they're honestly, they're just tragedy or disaster strikes. That's not what this is talking about. Okay? Go ahead and flip to that next one. And if you're like, man, what do I do? How do I know how to get out of this? James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. All right? And so if you're like, man, what do? I would say the first thing to do is to ask. Ask God. Check his word. Talk to those who are older and more mature in Christ than you. Walk with them. See what they have to say. Hopefully this has been a little bit helpful for those of you that have questions about the Holy Spirit. I know that this may have sparked even more questions, and I can't get to everything in the short amount of time that I have. But there will be more questions next week, for the next couple weeks, and so we'll continue to jump into that. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to worship, and then don't leave after worship, because I need your help, at least to begin stacking chairs, all right? So I'm going to pray for us, and the band's going to come up, and then we're going to sing, we're going to worship, we're going to praise our God. So would you bow your heads with me, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the love that you have for us. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit, that he is our guarantee. He is our promise of you. He is your presence living in us as believers. God, would your presence then change us to make us look more like you so that we can take your presence, your Holy Spirit, out into the world, into our schools, everywhere that we go. Would your Holy Spirit be like a light that is shining in dark places? Would it compel us? Would he compel us to love our neighbors? Would he compel us to love the ones at school who we don't get along with or want to avoid? Would he compel us to be kind and compassionate and patient and slow to anger with those around us, our families, our brothers and sisters, our parents? God, we love you. Thank you for this gift of the Holy Spirit. Would we not stop asking questions about faith and about scripture and about you? God, would we be willing to ask big questions of you? We know that you have the answer. We love you. Let's hear me pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Green Student Ministries Middle School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to contact us at gsm@thechapel.life or follow us on Instagram @Green Student Ministries. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.